So beginning now, Vad number 5, on Menuchas HaNefesh, we learned last week a very powerful formula called FACT, F-A-C-T, where we learned how at times a person can become a prisoner to his thoughts. We gave 4 different examples of categories of where people find themselves as prisoners. And when a person's a prisoner to his thought, and he needs to climb out of it, so we learned this powerful formula where a person could elevate himself from his unhealthy state of mind of where he feels prisoner, and a person could go ahead, like we spoke out last week, with a thought of F for freedom, a moment of a tefillah in thought to Hashem to help me get out of my state of mind. And then A is for appreciation, a moment of appreciating all the gifts that Hashem is actually giving you at every moment. Think about something specific. And then C, a moment of thought of caring, which is our taklis of our creation, lela atzma hu nivra. We're not created for ourselves, a moment of caring takes us out of our own selfish world of being busy with ourselves, which is even more of an elevated thought. And lastly, T was for trust, that at that point, we're a klei kibul, someone that's a good candidate that Hashem wants to help me. And therefore I trust that I'm a teyach, with the thought in my mind that I'm going to get out of this issue and I'm going to come free from being a prisoner. This was the 4 steps of elevation of our thoughts through fact that we spoke about last week. I want to begin today just explaining how this helps us achieve Menuchas HaNefesh. Just want to make sure we have the clarity in this, especially some questions came up that I want to make sure we have this clear. Why does using fact, which Rabbi Astrov, who created it, says how effective it is, and he's seen such tremendous results from people suffering for years, going for therapy, and they were helped through fact. So why does it help us achieve Menuchas HaNefesh? How does this work? So the understanding is that we spoke the first few weeks in the Vadim, getting the foundation of Menuchas HaNefesh. What we understood, what we explained then was, we revealed the unbelievable secret that Menuchas HaNefesh is defined by not facing your challenge in life and all the happenings and thoughts and feelings and things that go on in life with the focus of your guf, your temporary being. The temporary looking at it from your guf's lens is where you see all the limitation and suffering and hurt and the impossibility that you face. All the 5 dimensions of yourself that feel affected is all because of the lens of your guf. If you take a peek through the lens of your neshama, which is the real you, we are neshama, that's who we are, all of a sudden you see it in a whole different perspective. You see unlimited possibility. You see tremendous design and calculation, and therefore you deal with the challenge. It's not as stressful, it's not as hurtful, doesn't feel as big as a failure. Everything has perfect design, and you see it in a whole different light. That's the natural sense of our neshama, of who we are. At times, we get hijacked and we get kidnapped by our thoughts. That's how we become a prisoner. So the idea of fact, what it's doing for us is, it's helping us climb out from being a prisoner, that the moment you're feeling so stuck with this elevation of different thoughts that elevate you, you climb out from being prisoner. That brings you back to your natural state of being neshama. And then in Mela you have the first few weeks of foundations that we taught, where in a healthy set of mind, a healthy state of mind, you could feel and experience your life through the lens of neshama. This is what we spoke about, and this is how fact is supposed to help us in a practical level. What we have to realize is that this concept that we're learning is not just a beautiful hashkafas achayim, an idea. It's actually such a reality that in practical halacha, it's used too. If you look in Hilchas Gerushin, a halacha about a get, we know you can't do Gerushin val karchai. You can't do it against someone's will. But if someone's mechuyev to give a get, the halacha is kaifin oisayachi yaymei reitzani. We hit him, like the Rambam writes here in Perek Beis in Halacha Chaf, we hit him until he says, I'm willing. And then it's a get kasher. Now let's be realistic. If you're not allowed to do gerishim bal karchai, because you're beating him with a bat, and he finally says, I'm willing, is he really willing? It's not against his will? At the end of the day, he's not interested. He's just saying he's interested because he wants the hitting to stop. So he doesn't really want. So how in halacha do you have a get being chal, that's called a get kosher, if you're twisting his arm and he's saying I'm willing only because he wants the pain to stop? He's not really willing. The Rambam asks this question right here in Perek Beis. You know what the Rambam answers? The foundation that we've been learning the last few weeks. The Rambam answers that the real you wants, as a yid, deep down, you really want. But rather, your guf was hijacked by your yetzahara, and therefore you're saying you don't want. But deep down, you really want to give this get. So all we got to do is whip you and hit you, makin oisoi, until you say you want. Once you say you want, and we aligned your being saying you want, then we go along, of course we know you want. And the main halacha to kasher get. What we're seeing here is this same concept, that there's the real you, which you are your neshama, in contrast to the physical guf, which that's not you. So we see in practical halacha, this idea is being used too. Now someone asks me, if this idea that we're learning, this concept of Menuchas HaNefesh, and how it solves all psychological challenges, is this only meant for Frum Yidin? You have to be a Frum Yid to understand this. And the answer is no. It's not only for Frum Yidin. Any Jew has the ability to appreciate this concept and solve all his mental challenges, because any Jew has the ability to understand that life is not just the temporary physical being that you find yourself in. I want to share with you a story. Rav Shai Astrov brought down this story. He didn't use it for this discussion that I'm saying right now, but I want to borrow it because I think it brings out this message. He said over a story that happened with himself. I'll read you what he wrote. A number of years ago, I was traveling from Eretz Yisrael to America. I sat next to a software developer who was busily writing programs on the plane. For the first few hours, there were no words exchanged between us. After a while, he closed his computer and we spoke. Jim was from California. He lived in a beach house on the Pacific coast and was now returning from his visit to Eretz Yisrael. I asked him how he enjoyed himself. Well, I really enjoyed the nightlife in Tel Aviv, he replied enthusiastically, obviously referring to everything that Hashem does not wish Eretz Yisrael should be. Still, I understood that his superficial view of Eretz Yisrael was tied to his beach house and bachelor lifestyle. Yet I also believed that somewhere within his memory of Eretz Yisrael was a deeper, more spiritual and meaningful impression. I asked him, did you visit Yerushalayim? He told me he visited the wall and the old city. However, while my parents are Jewish, I never had a religious education, and these sites means little to me. It struck me strange. Someone could visit Yerushalayim and the Kaisel without a memorable moment to share. But as we continued our conversation, Jim's attitude began to change. The more I asked him about his first impressions of the wall and the old city, the more his memories brought him back to the experience. He now seemed more willing and even eager to share what happened. It was almost as if he had a deeply moving experience at the Kaisel that was forgotten and was now being remembered. It's somewhat similar to a dream that he can't seem to remember until an association is made and suddenly reappears in our memory. In the same way, he was now remembering with great excitement what occurred to him. It took him a few minutes and he began to describe to me a deeply moving memory of seeing the Kaisel for the first time in his life and approaching it with great reverence. He could remember getting close to the wall and uttering prayers to God that he never felt ever existed before that moment. Then he shared with me what he prayed for. He said he prayed he should be able to find a Jewish woman to share his life with. I gazed at him with amazement. 1 minute ago, all he could remember was Tel Aviv's nightlife. And he had no recollection of Yerushalayim at all. And the next moment, he divulged a personal experience that transcended his present life of living in a beach house, pursuing women, and enjoying the nightlife of a foreign country. Somehow, just being at the Kaisel evoked a deeper thought and aspiration about belonging to Am Yisrael and bringing a Jewish woman into his wife. Although, before that moment, Jim told me he never understood why he should get married to a Jewish lady. Suddenly, without any rational explanation, he made it made clear and profound sense to him. Obviously, something has called out to him and had touched his uneducated yet receptive Jewish soul, unlike anything before in his life. This is a story that actually happened to Rabbi Astron. The point that we see is that, like they say, every yid has a pintle yid inside him, the pintle in the neshama. There's something that every Jew could appreciate and understand, that there's something more to life than just this physical, temporary world. And Memela, this concept that we're learning is not just a frum yid, a ben yeshiva, sitting and learning be'iyun and all that, but rather every person could touch in and get an appreciation for this major breakthrough of learning Menuchas HaNefesh, this gift of experiencing life through our neshama, which really changes every experience. David HaMelech really writes about this in Tehillim and Ayin Ches. Over there, it says, "Vayokom edus biyakoy v'soyres som biyisrael, ashatzivas aveseinu loydiyam luvneyam." The Rebbeinu Shem gave us the Torah to give over to all the next generations. "Leman yedu dor achroin." This shall last all the way to the last generation. That bottom yivoleid, you're going to have children. Yikumu v'yisapru luvneyam. You have to constantly give it over to your children, all the foundations of Torah. But says the Pasuk, the tachlis of what you're going to reach is V'yasimu be'elokim kislam. You're going to place your trust in Hashem. That's what it's going to accomplish. By living a Jewish Torah life, you reach the level of realizing to rely and trust your security is in Hashem. V'lo yishkichu malalei kel. And you don't forget Hashem's schemes. The Pasuk is revealing to us this concept of realizing everything has a deeper scheme. We should never take things at face value. Realize everything has a deeper scheme. When something goes on in your life, if you take a moment to experience it with the lens of the neshama, you could see it in a bigger picture. I think a great example, down the block from me, the building, Novominsk Beis Medrash, a huge building, they dug very deep, they're making a huge foundation. And right now, they laid the foundation with a little cement very deep. If you go there and look at it and study it, you're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to look and see, you know, the back wall there, why is it all of a sudden protruding a few inches of cement? Why didn't they make it smooth? And you can start studying every little area and have a lot of questions and lack of understanding that if it was smooth, it'd be much better. Why would it protrude a few inches right there? But it's foolish to look at the building like that. You know there's a master plan. You know there's blueprints behind the whole thing. And until you see the whole master plan, what are you studying that little bit over there? Obviously, this calculation. There's a master plan. There's a deeper scheme behind it. How foolish could you be just to look at it like that? The secret of Menuchas HaNefesh that we're learning is how foolish it is on any occurrence in our life to just judge it and take it at face value as the incident happens. Catch your breath and take a moment and realize there's a deeper scheme. And realize through the lens of neshama, everything could stay balanced, the mayor could still be on top of the city, and every area, your hurt doesn't have to go out of its boundaries, and your worry doesn't have to go out of its boundary, and every department of the city of your human being, like we spoke about, could stay balanced, because it's foolish to take things at face value. You know there's a bigger master plan, and that's experiencing life through the lens of your neshama. That was the secret of Menuchas HaNefesh that we're learning. And if we're ever prisoners, that's fact that helps us climb out of it, and then you come back to your natural sense. This is what we've been learning the last bunch of weeks. And the truth is, the Gemara in Chulin on Zayin Amid Beis really writes this befeirish, how every step you take in your life is the Rabbeinu Shalom's decree. We think we have Bechira, and we chose what to do. And you do have Bechira to choose. But at the end of the day, it's not a contradiction to Hashem's design. And the Rabbeinu Shalom's Yediyah for every step of your life is also planned out. So obviously you have to make the right Bechira. You have to make the right choice. But we should understand and know that it's not a contradiction to the idea that the Rabbeinu Shalom has a master plan for every step of your life. And a little stubbing of the toe, touching your finger and hitting it, was decreed by Hashem, the Gemara says. You thought you were clumsy, and by mistake, your hand hit the doorway when you're walking through, and now it hurts. You thought you were clumsy, and you don't realize it was part of Hashem's decree too. Every step is part of the master plan. Today, we're going to learn a new concept. When we talk about being a prisoner to our thoughts, as much as our job is to work and use fact to help us free ourselves from being prisoners to our thoughts, but Lamaisa, as easy as it is to use fact, because it's something pneumistic, it's inside, at the end of the day, it's a challenge to getting control of ourselves from the inside. And there's a concept which the Mesil Sharm brings down, chitzainius ma'ayres apnimius. When you do something on the outside, it helps to ma'ayre the inside. And like the Mesil Sharm says, it's more accessible the outside than the inside. To touch your inside is a little harder, but to do an action on the outside is always easier. There's a lot of rayas throughout Chumash, you find this, many places where you see this concept, where the outside helps and it's easier than connecting, and therefore the chitzainius is ma'ir the pnimius. So based on this concept, We're going to learn today a new method called centering. Where centering was a great discovery that Rav Shaya Astrov came up with. What he noticed was, over the years of giving therapy to people, people came in, individuals, or even couples. And when he began the session, the hands were flying, which means they were very uncomfortable. He always noticed that. And then, after a whole 45-minute session of sitting with them, the hands calmed down. The hands were quiet, if you want to call it. And he realized a myridika thing, how our hands express our inside. The reality is, our inner experience is expressed through our hands. That's the reality. That's why sometimes we speak with our hands, because that's how we express ourselves. And in truth, when a person's uncomfortable, you see it in his hands. That's the reality. There's a direct connection our Hashem made us with our hands and our inner experience. That's the reality. So based on this reality, he developed a moiridika act that you could do called centering, where a person who's experiencing whatever category of examples that we spoke about, and a person's experiencing being a prisoner to his thoughts. You're having intense thoughts of worry, anxiety, or uncomfortability in a situation, or whatever the situation is, where a person's experiencing being a prisoner to his thoughts, a person could go ahead on the outside. You could do a gewaltige action and you do centering, and that's going to help calm your inner experience. What you do is, and it really works, it's very powerful, and he's been teaching this to clients for years, you put your two hands together, all your fingers touching together. And when your fingers are touching, that soft feel, that gentle touch of your fingers feeling each other, and especially when it's centered in the middle, it literally helps you calm your insides, and it literally connects you to the balanced inner self that you actually are. At the end of the day, we have a very pure, gentle neshama inside that's very centered and balanced and has the ability to give us, like we said last week, it's like the torch on top of the building that lights up the whole being. And therefore, we have the ability to, that should be leading our life. The neshama, that lens should be how we experience everything. But at times, when we're experiencing difficulty, we're going through a hard time of stress or whatever it is, if you center yourself and you have that feel of the fingers touching each other, it helps you connect that the same way you, in this action on the outside, the chitzonius, now things are centered, it helps you experience an inner security and an inner self of finding yourself and having that inner rest, that inner peace. And it's something that really works. I have to be honest with you. Way before I heard this from Roy Astro, the centering, this is something I on my own have been doing for years. You know, I'll tell you a personal story. You know, 20 years ago when I began as a Sholem Eishiv, so I literally was one Zman in Beis Medrash, and then Rabbi Gershon Ribner, Shlita, offered me to come to his yeshiva and become a Sholem Eishiv second Seder by him. So he took me mamash out of Beis Medrash. I had zero experience. So I remember so vividly the first time I came to the Beis Medrash, the first day of this month, and I'm walking around, bachim are learning and all that, and the first bacha asked me a shayla. And I obviously answered the shayla, but by the time I was done answering the shayla, all of a sudden I started feeling faint. I literally I wasn't cut out for this type of job. And I felt so uncomfortable, and I almost felt like I was fainting. I remember I walked out of the Beis Medrash, I went to a side room, to a chabur room, and I put down my head because I was sweating buckets, and I had to really get back to myself. I didn't have it in me. Obviously, he saw that I had it in me eventually, but 20 years ago, I wasn't ready for this type of job. And it took time, obviously, to get used to answering shaylos and feeling comfortable. So I don't know if it was at that point or not, but the idea of centering, even if you're not going to be able to put your hands together at times, because it's, you know, not always do you have a setting that you're able to do that. You're sitting and talking now, you're able to do it. But sometimes I've been doing this for years. I put my two fingers together. And somehow I always felt when I had my fingers together and felt my thumb against its other finger, I felt more inner calm to go ahead and deal with different challenges and stress that came my way. And I discovered this on my own years ago, way before I heard this from Rabbi Ostrov calling it centering. So the idea is something that really works. I felt this all the years, and it kept me going, and it's something that you have to realize, the chitzonis and ma'iris apnim is, it can help for you too. I just want to expand one last point on this concept that we're learning of centering. It doesn't have to only be a concept with our fingers and our hands, feeling on the outside, the chitzonius, ma'ir, the pnimius. At times, I'll tell you a story that happened with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He once was walking home from yeshiva, obviously, with Talmidim. And right when he got in front of his house, he stopped and he straightened out his clothing, he smoothed his beard, and then he went inside to his house. So one of his Talmidim, at a later moment, asked his Rebbe, "What's pshat before you went into your house? You straightened out yourself, all your clothing and all that, you tightened your tie, if he had a tie, but he didn't, or whatever it is, and he fixed his beard. Why'd you do that?" So he said, "Chazal tell us, ish v'ishtoi, is shalom b'neiyam, shechina shruya b'neiyam. If a husband and wife have shalom bayis, there's a shechina in the house. So myself and my wife, we have beautiful shalom bayis, so I was entering a house of shechina. So I straightened myself out for the shechina." This is what he said. And I was thinking to myself when I saw this story, that I don't understand. For his wife, he didn't straighten out his clothes and fix his beard, because obviously he felt his wife doesn't care. But the shechina cares? I don't understand. For his wife, he didn't go ahead and fix himself up. He didn't say he did it for his wife. However, he knows Ashuras HaShechina is home, so that's why he did it. What does that mean? For the Shechina, Hashem cares if his beard is a little straighter or not. His wife's not even makbid, but the Shechina is. Laniyaz Daiti, the way I understand the story, is that he did an act to continuously feel the Shechina. Which means, he did an act, he trained himself to do something tangible, that when he comes into his house, he's going to recognize the Shechina here. So before he entered his home, he made sure to tighten his suit and fix himself up, because he wanted to feel tangibly at the Shechina in his home. So I was thinking, as expanding the concept of centering, it's not just at times we could do centering to get the inner peace that we need and free ourselves from being a prisoner of our thoughts. At times we could do other activities too. Like, for example, this that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach did. At times we could do things that's going to help us, a tangible chitzonius act that's going to remind you about your neshama. The same way he did an act to remind himself about the Shechina in his home, he wanted to have a tangible act to remember it. Sometimes if we're stuck in prison to our thoughts, it's kedai to do something tangible to remind yourself, what do you mean? I'm a neshama. Neshama is unlimited. Neshama has no limitations. And do an act that reminds you about your neshama. Do an act that, you know something? A neshama has to fix himself up. Neshama has to look more proper. You're a neshama. Or whatever it is, some type of outside act, a chitzonius, which will help you be ma'iri apnimius. And that too can help you get the freedom from being a prisoner to your thoughts. So this is the Gevaldika concept that we're learning today, where a chitzonius also, besides a fact, which is a way of elevating your thoughts, you could do this external act too and help yourself become free from being a prisoner to your thoughts.